I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today the topic is, are we having a reaction to a fascist vaccine? Now, I've been thinking about the state of the world. Oh, really? Anyone else been thinking about the state of the world? Or maybe even doing everything they can to have a break from the thinking of the world? But as I've been thinking of the world and being a little troubled, I thought of a way of visualizing it that has given me a little bit of peace of mind. When you were a kid, did you ever have chicken pox? I remember when I was in elementary school, there were people that would have these chicken pox parties. Woohoo! Where one kid would have it, and then a bunch of other parents would agree to bring all their kids over there so that the kids would all get it at the same time and all get it when they were young. Cruel and unusual? Hard to say. But the idea was that if you get it young, you potentially are saved the much worse experience of getting it as an adult. Now, that isn't to say that it isn't a terrible experience. It doesn't mean that when you get chickenpox, you don't go through a terrible suffering and scratching and even be left with pockmarks from all of the scabs that you pick off. Yeah. Not good. But still, the idea was that you endure this small yuck to avoid a big yuck. And that's the whole concept behind vaccinations. When you get vaccinated, you get a little bit of the disease or the illness so that your body kicks in to overdrive in fighting that illness and producing the antibodies and becoming a state that is no longer susceptible to that ill. Now, some people get really sick when they get vaccinated, and that's one of the dangers of vaccination, is that you are often, you know, being exposed to something horrific, like a kid who gets chickenpox. And I've been thinking lately, what if we are being vaccinated right now to protect us from extreme fascism? Because as I look around to the cells of my community, people are activated. The antibodies are going. People are learning the tools and finding their voices and really looking at the political system in ways that they never have before. And I think finding a power, finding a, you know, the being inoculated from passivity. And it's hard to say, you know, will we be able to bounce back stronger or not? But I have heard that argument from a number of people, and I think there is a possibility that I am trying to embrace that we have been exposed to chickenpox. And as we scratch and suffer and yell to the heavens, why is this happening to us? That maybe from a many-year perspective, we'll be able to look back and go, whew, thank goodness we developed the tools, the strength, the communities, the maybe elements of distrust or tools to build real trust, tools to recognize human connections as opposed to media manipulation. Maybe we are having our antibodies activated right now. Maybe we are becoming the activated antibodies right now. And there's a few things that I think that have really kicked in lately as kind of giving me hope and giving me a perspective of positivity when it comes to looking at the state of the world and the state of US politics. And I'll say, this takes a little bit of work to find the cone within the crap. It takes a little bit of work to see the goodness in what's going on here, but I'm gonna try. And one of those is reminding people that the United States is a three-branch system. There is a complicated world there, but there is checks and balances, and there is systems for changing laws. And that means that we need to embrace the aspects of the system that we have some control over. And it is so exciting that in the last 48 hours, we saw the judicial branch flex their muscles U.S. District Judge Anne M. Donnelly, she was the one that, when the ACLU brought the case that the ban of Muslim immigrants and, you know, legal card-carrying immigrants, she presided over that case and deemed it unconstitutional. Now, that is a modern heroic warrior, somebody that stands in their truth and does what they feel is right in that moment. Now, that is, we need to look to those people, look to the lawyers too. I mean, there are lawyers standing by in the airports right now, working pro bono, offering to help anyone who is affected by these new rules. So what a crazy thing to go in from a world where lawyers are kind of the lowest of the low to potentially the defenders of freedom. And I'll mention the ACLU. The ACLU raised $10 million in the last few days. $10 million since Saturday, I think is what I just read. Because so many people have recognized the importance of taking the fights to the courts. And I am now a card-carrying member of the ACLU. I gave money a few months ago, and I gave money last night. And I think it's one of those places where, in addition to getting your voice heard, putting resources to the people that have the sharpest spears for the legal fights is super important. So back the ACLU in any way that you can. And there are a lot of ways that I think that we're finding how to have our voices heard and how to be a part of the process. You know, the number of people I see that are calling on a daily basis is so exciting. I mean, I would guess that most, if not all, of the people that I see either calling and coaching people to call never called before this. So are these the activated antibodies? Maybe. Is it too little too late? Who knows? But it's exciting to see the work happening. And I think I've also seen people do little things in whatever way that they can. I saw someone this weekend doing a fundraiser where they were doing a dance-a-thon. And initially they started trying to raise $500 for Planned Parenthood, and it started going viral, and so they raised $20,000 for Planned Parenthood. They said, I'm not going to stop dancing until I earn this much money. And it was super fun, and it was playful, and it was a way that somebody contributed their energy and their tone and their excitement and joy towards activism. And I think if we can open up the ways that we see activism, it can allow us to be of service from a joyful place. You can bring your anger. You can bring the fight in whatever way feels right to you, but you can also join the fight from a place of your truth without sacrificing your integrity. And the other way that I'm seeing now people becoming more and more aware and seeing more and more, excuse me, my antibodies are kicking in as well, trying to keep me well. Thank you. People are now starting to really learn how to vote with their dollar in new ways, I think. We're starting to see so many people visibly activated. When you see how many people were at the Women's March nationwide, companies see this mass of people. And they're more than just voters who vote at election time. These are people who vote with their dollar daily. So you see people like the Lyft Corporation, the competitor of Uber. They see Uber acting in a way that is much more aligned with Trump, and they see the Uber drivers showing up when there was a taxi strike during this immigrant thing, and Lyft says, F that. Not only we're going to give $1 million over the next 4 years to the ACLU because we are taking a side in this. What? Corporations taking a side? That is exciting because that gives us a way to vote with our dollar. Not only that, Starbucks today announced in a letter that they are going to hire 10,000 refugees it's another way for us to be empowered. It's another way to say our system is not just one of a presidential election. It's one of many elections. It's one of our voices being heard by elected officials. And it's one where all of the people who are elected in every position are affected by the flow of money through the system. And the flow of money in the system is affected by how us dollar voters act in the world. So, and the more that becomes effective, the more companies will take stands and actually use their power in ways that they feel will sway their customers. Because a corporation responds to the market. They don't respond to a marching sign unless there's so many people marching that people can't get into their store, or there's so many people marching that those people are shopping elsewhere. That's how a corporation thinks. It doesn't think with morality. It thinks with dollars and cents and Excel sheets. And it works clearly because you see companies like Lyft and Starbucks responding to this commercial voting that we're doing now. That's exciting. Now, all of this excitement and optimism that I'm sharing is maybe subdued a little bit by a little bit of reality check, because I'm preaching to the choir. If you're sitting at home nodding along with me, you've been nodding along the whole time. You've been nodding along, you know, since we were excited about Bernie or before. So we still have the dilemma of crossing the divide between those that, even in the face of everything that's happening right now, are still defenders of the current regime. And I say regime because I think it's fair to call a government a regime that is actively trying to control the media. In this state that we're in now, where we have continued to be divisive schools of thought, the keep pushing this far because we're making America great again, and oh my gosh, we are slipping quickly into fascism. How do we bridge this? Because we do live in a state where there's media that will confirm either bias that you have. Facts, as we, not only have facts become irrelevant, they have been mocked with the whole concept introduced of alternative facts. There's no struggle in knowing what facts are and aren't, and I'm not sure how much people care. Like, if you look at our country, is there anybody that doesn't dispute the truth that eating Big Macs and drinking Coke will affect your weight in a negative way? That's not debatable. And yet, even though we have this knowledge, this truth, these facts, 2/3 of adults in this country are overweight or obese. So there's more to the equation than simply reading a fact and going, oh, there's a lot to it. How do we make these changes? How do we affect people's emotional states? How do we make people connected to a perspective that is contrary to the one that they've become invested in? And a friend this weekend proposed to me that the only way we can do this is through personal stories. That we got to get out of debate mode. We got to get out of trying to convince anybody. We got to get out of, you know, arguments back and forth. The only tool to do this is if we personalize, humanize things that are happening. And there was a study that happened a while back where they really looked into this, where they went, when they're doing, I think it was Prop 8, the about the gay marriage. And the only thing that was effective in swaying people to vote differently was when someone came to their door who was gay or lesbian and had a personal story. And then people, when face to face, in talking to this human being, they realized that this emotional argument that they had attached to one side was trumped, pardon the pun, by this example of humanity. And so, if there is a tool to change hearts and minds, it is through personifying the immigrant, the person without health care, the people affected by policies that might be short-sighted or might have a degree of injustice in them that we can't see from a certain perspective and a certain story. Not that your story or perspective is wrong. It just might have room to see it differently when you can see it played out in the life of a fellow American. With one eye, I am shocked at what is happening in the world. With the other eye, I am hopeful. Now, I don't know if that was a not very funny joke from the universe, that the eye that I was hopeful with is the one that I still have a Band-Aid on after having a month of this thing on my eye. Ha ha, very funny. But nonetheless, I still, even though it is obstructed in some way, I can peek through the bandages and the ailments to the hope, to the resistance, to the activated white blood cells on the path to a healing, loving, open-hearted America that I feel like I fell in love with as a child and continue to have hope for. Because we have things like checks and balances, because we have things like access to individuals and information and organizing to get everything back on track. Thank you for being you and doing all that you feel called to do in the ways that you feel called to do it, maybe even stretching yourself, using the struggles of the day as an opportunity to make yourself a better person. Thank you for being you. I love you. It is 1 o'clock on the West Coast. That is the time every week when we gather in this digital space and archive it so that you can tune in with your vibration whenever it is that you might be able to join. We are bottling up this energetic heart recalibration and releasing it into your world.